how if the Knicks sucked this bad for like the next 40 years, would they get desperate and just be like, we have to retire somebody's number? Yeah, and then they pick Jeremy Lin because he's a better candidate than anyone else.
They would retire a fucking business suit and it'd be James Dolan.
they raise James Dolan's harmonica up to the Raptors.
He retires his own number.
And the air conditioning unit behind it just blows into it all game, and everyone has to do that shit.
It's when the fans start chanting to sell the team, and they crank up the AC.
It's just the like it's this like sharp note, like off key, like blaring harmonica.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess, the hottest basketball hot take podcast. We talk about basketball. We talk about the hot takes. We talk about whatever we're thinking about. I'm Jared, your local hot chocolate enjoyer.
I am Joe, your local Mountain Dew Zero Sugar enjoyer.
Ooh. I'm Will, your local water enjoyer, trying to stay trim over here.
This podcast is sponsored by water. Shout out to water.
Folks, go to water.com, enter the promo code FullCourtMess, and in the next month and a half, it will probably rain in your area.
That's a Full Court Mess
guarantee,
you
live,
folks.
Unless you live in Central or Southern California.
This podcast
this does
has
not
no
apply.
Ties
this does not apply.
So we're going to do that.
I'm willing to put the Full Court Mess guarantee stamp of approval on it raining in Southern California in the next within the next 4 weeks of when whoever listens to this.
Yes.
Do not listen to this over summer. That's the off season. What are you doing?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We make special episodes for that, which are not this one. Anyways,
this episode is as non-special as it gets.
No,
this episode is the February Pacers Raptors game of podcast episodes.
Anyways, let's talk All-Star, but in a non-special
yes.
way.
We've had a week to reflect. To just condense our thoughts here. Let's start with the Rising Stars game. The Rising. Y'all ever heard of this Trae Young or Luka Doncic? They are some rising stars in this league of ours.
I mean, I think I speak for all of us when I say this game was it was hard to enjoy without Matisse Thybulle there and without Jackson Hayes there. I think it felt like the integrity of the game was ruined, that Zion was there and those two weren't. So I found myself disgusted and wishing they would just do a second celebrity game.
Oh, man. I glossed over the celebrity game on purpose. Celebrity in the, like, biggest air quotes possible.
Is... Now, I know I'm treading on dangerous ground here, so this is a simple, just a question I need a yes-no answer to. Is Ronnie 2K a recurring guest for the celebrity game now?
I think so. I think so, yeah.
I think it's an NBA 2K, like, advertisement at this point. Like, nobody else at NBA 2K would dare do the game, either because Ronnie 2K threatens them. I can't confirm that. I'm just speculating, But he's just entrenched in being the sole layup air baller in the celebrity game.
That man cannot shoot. That man cannot do a layup. That man cannot play basketball.
Really tempting me here with bringing up Ronnie 2K and threat in the same sentence.
Well, Control yourself.
Yeah, just a small reminder that the other time the celebrity game has come up with Ronnie 2K, that's our only, I believe that's our only edited episode as that's far as all, censorship.
Our lawyers are panicked in the other room, just waving their hands at all of us, saying, no, 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 do not go down this road again.
Check this out. Tired, Ronnie 2K in the All-Star Game. Wired, any random person cosplaying as Frequency Vibrations in the All-Star Game.
Knowing that Ronnie 2K is in the celebrity game every year is motivation enough for me to become famous enough to be in the celebrity game instead of him. Like, that's a new goal I have in life.
Well, all you have to do, apparently, to get into this game is scam people on behalf of a video game development company.
Yeah, no, let's not get it twisted. Like, worldwide speaking, you are roughly as famous as Ronnie 2K already.
Right.
That's true.
You're pretty close. It is not out of the ordinary looking at the current celebrity rosters to see, to like envision in the next 5 years. It's saying like Joe, a grower of the world's largest potato, and is on the East team.
That's not a bad idea.
And that's a better way to be famous than for Ronnie. Ronnie's famous for just people shitting on him on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. I think I just got to get into the microtransaction game. I think that's where it's at, as far as fame goes.
How could you break down for us how microtransactions might look in farming?
Well, I mean, microgreens are a thing you can grow and sell to restaurants. So I think I would literally just grow microgreens.
Uh-huh.
One time I said I grew microgreens and a friend of mine asked if it was just regular lettuce that I put into really small bags and sold them that way, like one leaf of lettuce at a time.
I'm imagining you have some land and you tell people like, hey, you can come over and farm on this land for free. And then they do, but you only give them space to grow one potato. and then if they want to expand they need to do some in-app purchases.
Rental microtransactions.
But with NBA 2K, you can't even play it for free. And then when you complain about the game not working, then Ronnie is like, we'll get better at the game then. Buy some points.
And Joe, please be careful. Do not become a sharecropper trying to get into the celebrity game.
Okay. I'm gonna have to make sure you keep me accountable on this journey.
Okay.
I do think it's not that hard to become famous enough to like be like, hey, can I be in this? And they're like, sure. Like, I think that's all it would take. Like become famous enough, send one tweet, like at NBA, please can I be in the celebrity game? I'm pretty good at basketball. Better than 90% of the people that are in this game. I don't think I'm better than Quavo, but I'm like decent. And then, yeah, that's it. I think that's all there is to it.
Important update. Kobe White currently has 16 points in 8 minutes.
Folks, that's 2 points a minute.
Well,
I know this isn't a facts-based podcast, but we are bringing the heat tonight.
Joe, at this rate, you're going to be in the Celebrity All-Star Game for being a math whiz.
Okay, now we're talking.
All right. I guess we could just
say... The Rising Stars game was fun.
Yes.
That is my take. The most fun part of the game was in the last 2 minutes when it just became a Zion and Ja Morant dunk contest.
Yes.
That was very fun. RJ Barrett had a nice one too. That was fun. Luka hit a half court shot with Trey right next to him, and we got that little nice reaction gif of them holding one another and laughing.
And let's not forget that Trey then got a half court shot 2 days later in the All-Star game.
He did. And he nutmegged James Harden in that game, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get Yeah.
Folks, please, we are going to get to it.
We're going to get to it, and we're going to get to it.
The people are clamoring to hear how we feel about the All-Star.
We've got our live callers are just going nuts trying to get us to discuss this James Harden nutmeg, and we keep reminding them that this is not a call-in show.
We're not even live.
Please stop calling us after our last episodes asking us to talk about things.
Okay. All-Star events. What did it start with? The skills challenge?
Yes, the Taco Bell skills challenge.
Taco Bell skills challenge.
I saw a highlight of the skills challenge. I thought I was watching a highlight. And I was like, oh, these are just the good moments. And then I realized it was the entire skills challenge. Apparently, all there is now is dribble, chest pass, layup, three-pointer.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
I think they need to add a few things.
Or get rid of the event. I hate it.
That too.
It's bad. Yeah. It was fun that the final two were Bam Adebayo and Domantas Sabonis.
Yes.
skilled players, yes, but not guards. I think all the guards lost in the first round. Definitely all the point guards lost right away. Mm-hmm. Middleton won, but he's not really he's kind of a guard, I guess, but more of a guard forward. But yeah, Patrick Beverley, Trey Young, and someone else lost immediately.
Spencer Dinwiddie, defending champ, who got Dinwiddie, mad. That
yeah, none of them could make the pass. They all messed up on the pass. It was great.
And if that doesn't just tell you where we're at with the fundamentals in today's NBA, folks. Guards can't pass. Bigs are dribbling. I'm disgusted.
Folks, we need to abolish the three-point line. I'm sick of this.
Back in my day.
The only way to get 3 points now is by executing a bounce pass into the hoop.
Okay.
And not traveling while doing it. Am I right?
And how about you dress a little nicer? these baggy shorts.
These colorful shoes.
Hey, the short shorts are coming back.
Thank God.
They are.
Not as long as Mike Budenholzer keeps DJ Wilson on the bench. That's Bud, right. Noted hater of the short shorts movement.
Meanwhile, Dante DiVincenzo's shorts seem to be getting longer every game.
He's morphing into the playboard.
What came after us? Then we have the three-point.
Three-point was very good. Came down to the final shot.
I like that. That was fun.
I think he needed to hit three out of his last four, and he did.
Yep.
If he would have missed his final shot, he would have lost, but he hit it.
And he won it. He beat Devin Booker.
He sure did.
And you love to see it. Yeah, not much to it. That was fun. They added that deeper shot. It's like worth 3 points or 2 points.
Yes.
The Mountain Dew shot.
I think it might have been four. Mm. It was like the 4 point line was like the selling point of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many points they got.
I think
for
it was two
it.
Or three.
Okay. But yeah, there were two of those kind of, five or six feet beyond the line. Lillard range, Trey Young range, Curry range, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that was fun. I thought that was a nice little addition. As soon as Bam won the skills challenge, every take artist that we follow on our Full Court Mess Twitter was saying, oh, it's going to be a heat sweep. Duncan Robinson's going to win the 3 point, and Derrick Jones is going to win the dunk contest. And they were all wrong.
Now they look like a bunch of chumps.
I can never take them seriously again.
if there's one thing we don't revoke their credentials. It's being wrong ever, not even once.
That's right.
All right, so dunk contest.
I saw a post actually about the 3 point contest that was kind of interesting, where it said that Buddy Hield revolutionized the contest by coming around the backs of the ball racks so that he could step into each shot.
He did do that.
And I'm wondering if he has broken the seal and we will see higher level. Is he like the Steph Curry of the 3-point contest? Has he just changed the game forever?
Not of the NBA, just of the 3-point contest.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He gained 3 seconds tops on his time in a contest in which guys do not run out of time ever.
Well, remember that the Kings wanted him because they said that he would be the next Steph Curry. They didn't say of the NBA.
Great point.
Vivek Randavev is validated, finally. Vindicated.
Every single decision Vivek ever made was right.
Come on the show, and we will tell you how smart you are.
Okay, so... I don't know. Is there anything else with the 3-point contest?
No, I didn't watch a second of it. That's all I got.
Okay, great. Dunk contest. I've been thinking about this for a while. Been trying to write my thoughts down because there's just so much to feel about it. This might be controversial, but here it goes. It was good. It was great, okay. Even.
All right. Wow. This
one. And it was very enjoyable.
Let me guess. You like cool dunks where guys jump really high and do fun things. That's the kind of shit you're into.
Oh,
yes. A likely story. I enjoyed it as well. Those are my thoughts. I have many more thoughts.
I do believe that Dwayne Wade rigged it.
Hmm.
You think Dwayne Wade rigged it by not giving Aaron Gordon a 10?
Yes.
On the last one?
Yeah.
You think he was... Because rapper and... what was it? NBA All-Star intro guy and famed dunk appreciator and knowledgeable man, Common, said someone messed up. We were trying to give them both the same score on the last dunk, but someone messed up.
I mean, honestly, I don't really buy into all the conspiracy behind it, but I feel like they should have just let it be a tie. Just give them both a trophy. They both rule.
Do you think Aaron Gordon would have been pleased with that?
Maybe.
I ask myself that before every major life decision.
What would Aaron Gordon be
pleased with? Aaron Gordon be pleased with this?
I also don't. I don't care if he's pleased.
Ooh.
How about that? I don't care. I think they both deserved a trophy.
You don't care if Aaron Gordon is happy. You just want him to keep jumping for your entertainment.
No. He doesn't have to do it ever again. Do it if he wants, but he can do it with a trophy that Derek Jones also has.
I think the players probably would have been mad if he was given a tie, but I stand by that anyone who cares too much about the judging in a dunk contest is a sucker.
It's not, yeah, half a few of the judges can't even dunk.
I mean, we got to see like 10 to 12 like incredible dunks. And then I got on Twitter and people were like mad about the outcomes. Like, man, just enjoy the dunks.
It was so fun.
Just enjoy those.
Much across the board, they were really solid dunks. Even Pat's and Dwight's were good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I appreciated all of them. Not one bad dunk the whole night, truly.
Yeah.
Some okay. Some definitely below others, but not one bad dunk at all.
And I hear you. Top we saw top, like a really good fun. Range in creativity going from like.
There wasn't like, too much like I remember a couple of years ago, like with the kind of the Dwight Howard, Nate Robinson era, mm-hmm. when they seemed to be in it every year. There was a lot of costumes, a lot of like showmanship that way, which I thought was a little over the top. But the level it was at this year was perfect.
I really liked Pat Connaughton's dunk over Giannis while hitting the backboard.
That was a great dunk.
That was great.
I appreciated the white men can't jump reference.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
I appreciated the Dwight Howard Superman callback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just wonderful.
And then just did, like the overtime where they actually had to start coming up with shit on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were expecting overtime.
I don't think Taco Fall was expecting overtime.
I don't think Taco Fall said that he feared for his life.
Aaron Gordon can be cruel.
When he brought out Taco, I was like, no, that's cheating.
He just gives Taco the ball, lets him dunk and gets 50 for it.
He like goes on Taco's shoulders and Taco just walks up and he sets it into the hoop.
He goes to jump over him and the whole crowd starts booing. He walks over him, they cheer a little bit, he starts to jump, they boo again. He reaches out the ball towards Taco, the crowd's going nuts. He gives him the ball. The crowd goes berserk. Taco dunk.
Should we do it? Should we do it, folks?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of what would... Okay, here's my solution for how Aaron Gordon could have won the dunk contest. What he should have done is sat on Taco's shoulders and put on a big trench coat so that it looked like Aaron Gordon was like 12 feet tall and just like a regular human being in a trench coat. And then Aaron Gordon just dunks it and sets it in the hoop and then never reveal Taco underneath the trench coat.
Okay, let's take that, okay? Let's say someone in a trench coat comes out of the locker room and he says, I'm going to dunk over this man in a trench coat. And he does it. And he does he does some type of move over, right? They take the trench coat off and it's actually three men stacked in a trench coat. And somehow that's more impressive because he didn't dunk over just one person. It was actually three.
That is right.
Wait, that reminds me, the dunk a couple of years ago where it was like the two people there. And then they added, instead of jumping over two, the guy added Kevin Hart to the group of people. And made Kevin Hart bend down to jump over him. And it was like, bro, it's just a third person, but you didn't add any difficulty to this.
That almost added negative value.
You jumped over the shortest famous person alive while he was bent over.
That was like...
And it got a 50. It got a 50. It works.
That's like... Was it Aaron Gordon? He dunked over Chance, right? Chance the Rapper?
Yeah. Like
And then Andre Iguodala on Twitter just said, Chance 5'2".
Okay. I have two things about, these are my actual thoughts about the dunk contest. One, it was hilarious when, oh shoot, now I can't even remember the tweet. I think I retweeted it, but anyway, I'll come up with it later. My actual thoughts are that Derrick Jones rightfully won the dunk contest. This is what I actually think, because to the point of him jumping over Chance the Rapper three times. Aaron Gordon's second dunk of the first round and his first dunk of the finals, so his second and third dunks of the night, were exactly the same dunk. The only thing he did differently on the third dunk was add those dancing TikTok girls at half court, which did nothing to the dunk.
Well, it should give you negative points.
Right. That's a whole different argument. But I would argue that just doing the same dunk. Okay, in NBA Live 2005, the first game that I recall having a dunk contest that you could do in the game.
Ridiculously complicated dunk contest.
Very, very complicated. But even if you did, there was a way you could do a dunk in that game where you went between the legs twice and threw it down. Okay, you do that dunk the first time, it gets you a 50 every time. If you do that dunk exactly the same way the second time, you don't get better than a 45 in that game. Even if you go through the legs twice again, they will never give you a 50. So my argument is that Aaron Gordon did the exact same dunk twice. He jumped over Chance the Rapper and kind of like spun like 90 degrees and put it in the hoop. The same exact thing. He got a 50 for both of them. He should not have gotten a 50 the second time. And he should have gotten at best a 49. which would have given Derrick Jones the title after four total dunks each. There would have been no overtime. There would have been no jumping over Taco. There would have been no dispute.
Okay, but
Derrick Jones is the winner.
But I do appreciate the overtime.
I do too. They were very good dunks. They were great dunks.
Okay, here's my counter. If we're saying how we wish it was scored, I wish that it was like out of 200 and you kept your first round scores in the final round.
That's fair.
Okay. Okay.
So like, that's fair. Then Aaron Gordon would have won. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he whipped the shit out of him with his first round dunks. I'm sure they'll be like, well, you should have saved those for later. But I just like, I mean, whoever had the more impressive contest overall is who I really care about. But mine was, someone asked me, they were like, was he robbed? And I was like, nah, because like Jones was a deserving winner. They were both awesome. You're not robbed if the other guy is a fully deserving winner too.
Right.
It was fun. And it was good.
And I think Pat Connaughton would have made the finals in many other years of the dunk contest.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he happened to go up against two guys that had great first rounds.
It looks amazing when Derrick Jones Jr. dunks, which is why I'm like really good with him winning, just because it just looks better than when other people dunk.
It does. Mm-hmm.
The way he throws it down at the end, when he goes between, like, we got really used to Zach LaVine going between the legs, which is so smooth, but it's way more violent when Derrick Jones Jr. does it.
Yep.
And does it over a person.
He flushes that shit.
When he, what was that last dunk he did? It was like a step in from the free throw line. And he flushed it hard, and he like was mad because he knew he could have like gone farther.
Yeah, I think he did a windmill from there. He could have made it from a step back, like literally like long jump, like behind the line. Like he could have done that and like thrown it down easy, but
did you see that?
You gotta get enough speed. It's hard to time that out. Perfectly.
Did you see that video of Zach LaVine, like almost making a 360 from the line?
He did. Oh, yeah, there's a video out there of him doing it in their practice facility.
Oh, fuck.
More recently was the one where he missed it, but there is a video out there of him hitting it.
That's insane.
And I think he tweeted it out, or he posted it on Instagram and said like, I didn't know my like missed attempt was going to go viral. So here's one where I made it. here's proof. There's what's his name. Like he name drops a player. Like there's him in the background. Like he'll vouch for me. This isn't like doctored or anything.
that's fucking crazy.
I remember the tweet that I saw that made me laugh so hard. So after Aaron Gordon lost and Derrick Jones won the dunk contest, someone tweeted out, and I can't even remember who anymore, but someone tweeted out, man, I don't want to be the guy guarding Aaron Gordon first game after the All-Star break.
Okay. He might go off for 14.
He might go off for 8 of 20 shooting.
When Aaron Gordon drops 14 and 8 and 2 after the All-Star game because he's pissed. Oh, damn.
I laughed so hard when I saw that.
I would always want to be the guy guarding him while he just kind of like aimlessly stands on the perimeter because the Magic play four power forwards at all times.
Another clip of him was going viral. I don't know if it was before the All-Star break or after, but he went up for a putback slam. He did not convert it, but basically he like jumped up and like pushed himself up on someone's shoulders, like went over the back on somebody, grabbed the ball like 3 feet above the rim, and then like threw it out of bounds. And everyone was like, oh my God, look at this guy. It's like I don't know that he did anything. He jumped really high. Yeah, he did.
He acted like it was the dunk contest, dunking over a person.
Oh man.
I'd like to see more putbacks like that though, people launching themselves up off their teammates.
I don't think it was off his teammate. I think it was off like a defender, like it was Miles Turner or something that he like tried to vault over.
Okay.
And like I think Miles Turner got called for a foul or something.
You can't do that.
Speaking of putbacks, Josh Okogie had a great putback tonight already.
Ooh.
Like
he's
legitimately
fun to watch. He should be in the dunk contest.
He'd be a good one.
He'd be a solid like pretty well-known, kind of like rising star kind of player to put in it. Is Zion going to do it next year, you think?
I think he said that if the Pelicans are, like, in a good place, like, standing-wise, then he'll do it.
Okay. That's interesting.
So,
if my team is garbled, then I can't do it.
yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Ja Morant seems like he's not going to do it. It was something like his response to how the dunk contest was judged was like, well, now I'm not going to do it.
Bro, come on.
Something like that. He tweeted something along those lines.
It's for the fans. Just have fun.
we need Zion. We need Ja. We need LeBron.
LeBron will forever
be of the stance that LeBron is a coward for never doing the dunk contest.
What if LeBron is waiting till his last season to do it?
That would be fine.
Okay.
But not acceptable to me.
Okay.
But acceptable to most.
All right.
But honestly, like, everybody does it. MJ did it. Kobe did it. They both won it. Like I don't understand why he never did it, honestly.
I don't know. I don't know.
Vince Carter, like all the guys who were like freakishly athletic as young players in the league did.
Like there are plenty of players that
Giannis did it. He wasn't good at it, but he did.
Yeah. Like we've seen a lot of players that like killed it and then they're like, "All right, I don't want to do it anymore cuz I want to give like other players a chance to shine there." I get that. And like I don't know. Like if that's LeBron's stance, sure, but like you still haven't done it yet.
Yep. LeBron knows that he's simply not very good at dunking basketballs.
I mean, it's inarguable at this point.
What if LeBron does it and he gets eliminated in the first round?
That's actually the funnier part to me about stars not who don't do it is like you have such a built-in advantage by being the biggest star in the contest. Like they're going to give you 50s.
Yeah.
Like if LeBron James did the dunk contest, there's no way in hell that he wouldn't win just because he's LeBron James.
Yep. Okay, I've looked up the dunk contest winners since 2000. Vince Carter won it in 2000. That's probably kind of like arguably when it was kind of like reascended to like, oh, people are doing the dunk contest now. And LeBron was a rookie in 2003. Is that right?
Yeah, he was in the 2003 draft.
2003 draft. Okay, so 2004 would have been the first year he could have done it as a rookie. The winner that year was Fred Jones.
Hell yeah. I was just watching some Fred Jones highlights.
He was good. Like, Fred Jones was good, but, like, there's no way LeBron wouldn't have won it that year. Then Josh Smith won it the following year. And then Nate Robinson, and then Gerald Green, and then Dwight Howard, and then Nate Robinson two more times. So between 2003 and 2010, I feel like definitely between 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, LeBron definitely could have won one of those.
Yeah, like, I mean,
argument would be, well, oh, if I do it, I might lose. Like, I mean, maybe, but that'd be a weird argument to not do something.
And also, the dunk contests after Dwight and Nate Rob were far worse.
Yes.
It would have been even easier then.
Yep.
LeBron, the only way to make up for not doing the dunk contest is to come on Full Court Mess.
This is true. This is...
We will do a special Taco Tuesday episode for you, LeBron.
You know what LeBron's doing? He's waiting for that last season in the league when his son is going to be in the league and they'll compete against each other in the dunk contest.
Wow.
And it's going to suck.
It's going to suck. And they'll both get 50s. They'll both be in the finals and it'll be the worst one. All right, what's next? What do we got?
We could talk about just the All-Star game itself and how right I was that the fourth quarter rule would be awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what to think of it, but that worked out really well. That was probably the best All-Star game that I've seen.
Check the tapes. I was right.
They played defense. They were arguing.
Kyle Lowry took two charges.
And there was one charge that was a missed call.
It was beautiful.
They were arguing with the refs about calls, like it's a normal game. Harden and Westbrook were getting mad at the refs again, like it's a normal game for them. That was awesome. And then it all came down to a free throw.
Yeah, that was the only bad part. And that seemed to be the universal review that don't let it end on a free throw.
And then
basically what everyone said.
AD said that he meant to miss the first free throw. He said he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Do we believe this?
I do believe it. Because I think he's that good. And I get that he would be like, well, I don't really want it to end on a free throw, but I should also, like, make it. Like, but I'll put the pressure on and miss the first, so I have to make the second one. Like, yeah. I get the logic of, like, he was probably thinking, most people don't want this to end on a free throw, but I do want to win this game, so.
Yeah, and I get, like.
That's my thought.
Yeah, because what the thing that really makes me believe that is that it's his hometown, right?
Sure.
So,
and the fourth quarter went on really long. Like, Kemba Walker literally is, like, getting his knees drained after the All-Star game because he played so much.
Yeah.
In part.
Also, Nick Nurse playing Lowry throughout the entire quarter instead of, like, the actual starter.
Yeah. Trae Young hardly played in the fourth quarter, didn't he?
Yeah. I think Luka also hardly played.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people found questionable. That was fun, though. I liked that.
I think the format worked. Like, the first three quarters being the, like, basically just like, yeah, we're just having fun out here. And then it, like, all right, we're getting serious now. Fourth mm-hmm. quarter. I think it was a good mix of everything. I thought, yeah, jerseys were good.
Everyone just
Kobe numbers
hyped
and GG
too.
Numbers were cool.
When Trey hit the half court shot, and as it's about to sink in, Pascal Siakam is under the hoop and he just lays down.
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The realization that Giannis truly, truly hates James Harden.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. Like, multiple times, like, ripping on Harden.
And then just...
With no, like, real reason to.
And just sprinted into the paint and elbowed him in the head in the All-Star game.
Remember when he chucked that pass at Harden's head a year or two ago?
Yeah, no, yeah. Everyone's like...
Like, across court, just, like, to the dome.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, I think he meant to do that.
Think fast.
Yeah, that was.
I got a funny tweet that was in response to the ending of the All-Star game. It just said, it's a gif of LeBron on the Heat looking menacing. And then it says, Kevin Knox next season on Team LeBron in the clutch.
Oh my God. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
From an NBA reporter for the Knicks.
I have not run into a Kevin Knox stan in, like, I think the past year and a half. That's incredible.
That's, jeez. Anything else with the All-Star game? It was good. It was fun.
No, I think it was a fun All-Star weekend. Yeah, overall.
Okay, so here's a fun tweet from StatMuse. It's the still getting them checks team. Have you seen this?
No. Y'all seen it?
I have not. Okay. We have a point guard through center with a six man of guys that are still getting them checks. Let's start with Darren Williams.
Okay.
This year
is Larry Sanders on this list?
He's our sixth man. We'll get there.
Okay, yes.
Nice. Are we guessing them? Because Are we guessing them?
Yeah, we could do that. Let's guess them. I guess I ruined the first one, but whatever.
I would not have guessed Darren Williams. I did not know he was still receiving checks.
This year, he gets a $5.5 million check from Brooklyn.
Holy shit. All right, well, Josh Smith is definitely on there.
Okay, so, well, guess the shooting guard. And if you need it, then I can give a hint on who is giving the money.
I need a hint for the shooting guard. I don't know who does.
No.
Indiana. They are due $2 million by Indiana through 2022.
Indiana? Darren Collison?
Monte Ellis.
Monte Ellis. Wow. Oh, my God.
Hell yeah.
All right. Instead of a small forward, I guess we just have another shooting guard. They are due $5 million by the Lakers through 2022.
Shooting guard, Lakers. Can't be Luol Deng.
Luol Deng!
Oh, is wow. It?
Yeah. okay, power forward.
I think he's a small forward.
Power forward. Will are the guest at Josh Smith. This year, Detroit owes him $5.3 million.
Oh, my God.
Center. Awesome. The center is due $6.4 million by the Knicks through 2022.
And they're not in the league currently?
No.
I was going to say DeAndre Jordan somehow, but
that's not it. What'd you say, Will?
I thought it would be Joakim, but he like played some games for the Grizzlies last year, right?
It's Joakim.
Okay. I didn't know if he like played for a team if they had to like give up the money that they were being paid from the old one.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not how that works.
And then sixth man, Larry Sanders. He is due $2 million by Milwaukee through 2023.
Man, good for Larry.
Yeah, good for him.
Larry got his money and bounced.
He thought about coming back.
I don't know how this works. How do you retire and still get paid?
I think he phrased it. It was like, I'm taking a leave of absence or whatever.
Yeah, it was like
it was not like I'm done with basketball. It was like, I need to find myself.
Well, there is a lot of mental health.
Void your contract. Yeah.
I don't think John Hammond was a good GM at all. I think he got lucky with the Giannis pick, and everyone was like, this guy's a genius. But he hit, like, every other pick he made was trash.
So, relatedly, I mean, we have all the evidence we need of that in watching him run the Orlando Magic.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he literally just picks guys with big wingspans.
Yep, he's like, the next Giannis, I got him. This also worked for me once.
Coby White at halftime has 26 points in 15 minutes.
Damn. So he might be good, actually.
Like, huh. Well, let's not go crazy, but he's good sometimes.
Okay.
Well, Chicago might be one of those teams where as soon as you're off the team, you get better.
Yeah.
I think he'll have my guess for Coby is he'll have a great career of random people on Twitter like overrating him as a bench scorer. Anyway, but it'll be like he'll have some guys who are like the Jamal Crawford guys who are like, this guy is still unsigned, and it's like, yeah.
I love Coby.
He's delightful.
What a good dude.
Yeah. It's like I want him to just do so well just because he's such a just seems like such a good guy. Good energy.
The Dallas Mavericks have become the second team this year to file a protest where they want the end of a game to be replayed.
Yeah.
That's never going
to
happen.
They're real mad about losing a game to the Hawks without Luka or Kristaps.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I love the team that like thinks they're gonna. Why even do this? Because the second the NBA does it once, they have to do it like a lot of times, and it would just be awful.
Yep.
we need you to come back to Dallas to play 9.7 seconds of a game. Or even better, where it's like, come back to play a quarter and a half.
Nah. That's, okay, speaking of coming back to play games and whatever, that Patrick Patterson post, did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I think, Joe, you sent that to us, right?
I don't remember.
It was like, I think Joe sent it, but we might have lost Joe.
I've been sending a lot of things.
Let me search his name, Patrick Patterson.
Folks, a little behind the scenes stuff. Joe has literally been sending a lot of posts.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
I abandoned my personal Twitter for the time being and have just been using the Full Court Mess Twitter, which the people we follow are like friends of the show and people who just throw out takes constantly. I just followed Kendrick Perkins this week, so yeah.
That's where we're at.
It's a cesspool out there, but I can't not share them.
All right, I found the post. Meanwhile, my neighbor is just blasting Judas Priest right now, and I'm going to go hit him in the side of the head.
Odd post, but we love that you shared it.
Okay, so, yeah, not a quote. That's directly from me. Okay, so it was announced that the NBA rescheduled the Lakers-Clippers game from January 28th to April 9th. You know, that game was postponed due to the Kobe Bryant death. Patrick Patterson posts a screenshot of the news on Instagram story and says, "What if we said no thanks? Don't want to play the game that you chose to cancel." Patrick plays for the Clippers. And I feel like posting that is just... you don't got to do that.
He's making it sound like the players wanted to play and then the NBA unfairly canceled the game.
Yeah.
You chose to cancel it.
Or that it was just like the Lakers didn't want to play and the Clippers were like, well, fuck. Even though the league said that it was like, that was a decision made after talking to both teams.
Patrick was nodding on this discussion. Patrick was out there on the court ready to play. He's like, well, I guess they didn't show up. I guess they forfeit. We win. Well, you mean it's rescheduled? No.
This is very clearly Patrick Patterson just had plans on April 9th.
Yeah.
He had plans. Now he has to cancel them.
This is like your employer saying, like, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday for one time on Saturday. And you're like, well, what if I say no? It's not a question.
Just pulling Patrick Patterson aside, like, no, Kawhi can say no.
Meanwhile, that music is really loud next door. Meanwhile, when I was searching Patrick Patterson on Twitter, an article came up from Hip Hop Vibe. Said Patrick Patterson of the Los Angeles Clippers referred to black women as bulldogs when asked why NBA players marry white women on his anniversary post with his wife.
In his anniversary post?
A lot going on.
What a twist ending.
A lot going
on
there.
Look, you got it. When you've got a great post, you gotta get it off whenever you can, as soon as possible. If your mid-anniversary post, you put it in there.
Can you guys hear that music?
A little bit.
I cannot. I heard a car that had the zoomies a couple of minutes ago, but
so that was my neighbor's motorcycle, and he's just blasting the music from his motorcycle in his driveway.
Very cool.
So for those that can hear this, this
Sunday night,
this might be a rough episode.
Just some other highlights from some of the posts I've shared in our group chat. This one from Magic Johnson. He spoke at a conference somewhere in Ohio, and he tweeted a video with the caption, "Because I was in LeBron James country today, I had the employees clap 23 times in his honor. And then it's a video of like 100 employees clapping 23 times in unison really fast. It's that's horrifying.
Just awful.
I don't like that.
It's like that's the weird. Most cult thing I've ever seen in my life. It was terrifying. That's like straight out of a horror movie.
That's fucking weird. Don't do that.
Like, Magic, what are you thinking?
Also,
hey, we're here in Ohio. LeBron James is here. LeBron James is from here. He used to wear number 23.
Like, they don't know.
Let's clap 23 times together.
Also, he's in his honor. He's not dead.
Yeah. Another one. This one just says the Lakers are just one of three teams with a top five offense and a top five defense. The Celtics and Bucks are the others. I feel like you could have just said the Celtics, Bucks, and Lakers all have top five offenses and top five defenses.
It honestly seems incredible. Like the buried lead is that there's three different teams that all have that.
Yeah.
That's wild. One of just three? Man, there's only a possible of five.
Yeah. 60% seems pretty high for that qualifier. Man. Just scrolling, fellas. Oh, there's the Kevin Durant room for improvement tweet again.
Always a good one to have.
Always. Always a hit. We love it.
You have to play the hits occasionally.
Stephen A. Smith ranked his top five heavyweights in sports. They were LeBron James, Jerry Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Conor McGregor, and Stephen Curry.
Curry what? Is not heavy.
Conor I'm McGregor not sure what he thinks heavyweights means.
Does he just mean stars?
I think he's just thinking weights maybe? Of any kind.
Jerry Jones, number two.
He throws his weight around.
Sure. I don't know. Oh, Russell Westbrook got ejected from a 40-point win over the Warriors.
So they were up by like 30. I watched that game. They were up by like 30.
Enlighten us, Jared.
Enlighten you?
I said enlighten us.
Let me. Don't even.
I just saw the clip ready. Afterward. And Clay was like, "Why are you mad?"
Yeah. So Westbrook elbows Damian Lee in the chest and gets called for it. As he's getting called for it, he turns around and telling Damian Lee, "Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?" And so. Another one of the Warriors takes the ball out of Westbrook's hands because they're trying to fucking play the game. And Westbrook didn't like that either. And so they get close, they get separated, so Westbrook walks away and he's talking to the Warriors bench. And he's talking shit to like Wiggins on the bench, and Wiggins is just smiling. And just laughing about it. And next to Wiggins is Clay, and Clay is just like chilling, sitting back, and he's like, "Bro, why are you so mad?" And it did not help. They're like, "Yo, refs are like, you need to get out of here." And so they're trying to send him to his own bench, and he's walking away. And Looney's just been standing around, and he walks into Kevon Looney, and then gets mad like Kevon like pushed him, even though Kevon was just standing there. And he just like turned around like trying to start a fight. And then finally goes and sits on the bench and like isn't leaving. And then they finally like, "Bro, you're ejected. You have to leave." And he got escorted to the locker room. It was a good fun time. I don't know why he's so fed up. You're up 30 against a depleted team.
Right.
I know that Christmas game was rough, but come on.
Well, here's my theory.
Okay.
Jared, dude. Did you have fun watching the Warriors in that game?
This recent game.
That 30-point loss when they were down 30. Did you have fun watching them?
Not particularly.
he had to watch them from even closer.
Okay.
He had to watch them all game, and he couldn't even get a snack.
Yeah.
He was just mad. He was just, I wish you guys were better.
So that they, okay. Okay.
Yep. Even NBA players want to see quality basketball at all times.
I'm not sure Westbrook wants to see the Warriors do well ever again.
I don't think Westbrook liked watching basketball at all.
I would believe that also.
Or he's just in a particularly salty mood because he hasn't been allowed to pick the mustard in Houston.
Great point. Great callback. That's got to be it. Kendrick Perkins 2 days ago tweeted, "I'm sitting here thinking, and it's crazy, because I don't know if Ray Allen, a Hall of Famer, will ever get his jersey retired by any franchise he played for. I believe this is a very interesting topic to discuss, ..
Okay.
Let's discuss it. It won't be by the Bucks because Giannis wears number 34. It won't be by the Celtics because the Celtics are a more storied franchise than retiring the number of a guy who played there for 3 or 4 years. And also, then he was ring chasing after that.
Yeah, also so. That like that was a rough departure.
Yeah.
They're just not happy with him.
Yeah.
He's not going to get his jersey retired in that.
Nope.
And so what?
That was very interesting.
Thank you.
Also like he didn't like win anything for the Bucks. Like, I mean, like we love Ray Allen there, and obviously he was a great player for the Bucks for a number of years. But you know, he was there 7 or 8 years, went to the Eastern Conference Finals once. Like, yeah, was the best player on that team that era. But like, the Bucks aren't, even if the number wasn't taken by someone else, I don't think they would retire his number.
No.
Personally. It's also learned the weird spot. This is, I feel like this happens occasionally in sports. It's not super common. But so they have like, yeah, they've got Ray Allen. Ray Allen is what? He's their best player since Kareem and Oscar.
Perhaps, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's like, he's excellent. But, you know, he's obviously not at that level, but he's this excellent player. At the time, they're probably thinking, oh, yeah, his number definitely gets retired. He's awesome here. You know, a lot of fans probably on board for that. Without good a player, Ray Allen is surefire Hall of Famer. He leaves the team. It's not on like ugly terms or anything. Everyone's probably still fine. You know, yeah, once he retires from the league, he'll probably get his number retired. But by the time he retires from the league, basically, they've got this guy who's way better.
Yeah.
it's very strange to kind of retire. That it's odd to say because he's a Hall of Famer, but it's like kind of like, wait, we're experiencing more success with this guy who's also a better player than like Ray Allen ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just going to retire Giannis's number.
Yep. Like, they haven't even... Nobody would... I mean, at the same era Ray Allen was on the team, Glenn Robinson was on the team for longer, and nobody ever would even consider retiring Glenn Robinson's number. Like, I don't know. It's just like a weird... Yeah, I think the timelines overlap. I'd probably retire Michael Redd's number before Ray Allen's number.
Damn. Sound the buck big alarm.
That's probably a little strong, but
I would retire TJ Ford's shorts before I retire.
You know what? You know what I've been thinking about this, since the trade deadline?
What's that?
The Kings traded Swanigan back to Portland, and then they traded Dwayne Dedmon back to Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
The Kings are redistributing wealth.
They're, like, changing how, you know, we say rental players are. This is a true rental player team.
You sign them and then give them back.
Yeah.
A rental team, yeah.
And then Dedmon seems to be playing better again in Atlanta. Funny how that works.
Yep. Speaking of the Kings, Vlade Divac, I don't know how long ago, was asked about taking Marvin Bagley over Luka, and his response was, better fit, better player, great talent, easy choice. Vlade has King's brain. You hate to see it.
There was that, like, article about them in the Atlantic the other day. Or was it The Athletic? I don't know. Who wrote that article?
I have a Ray Allen hypothetical because I'm not over it yet.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The Bucks win. This current iteration of the Bucks wins a title. One title. I don't know. How many titles does it take, I guess, maybe is the question, for Chris Middleton to get his number retired before Ray Allen does?
Chris Middleton is wearing Michael Redd's number, so we need to talk about that first.
Uh-oh. They could make it, they could retire it as both of their numbers. we had two guys who were both 50% worthy of a number retiring. If the Bucks win two titles with this team, is Giannis the only number they retire?
No. I think Middleton's number would be retired also.
Yeah.
If Middleton's on the team for both of them also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it'd have to be at least
a two-time All-Star, like clearly the second best player on the team. Yeah.
I think it'd have to be at least two titles though.
Yeah, they've got nine retired numbers. Let's see who they are.
Oh, I could tell you most of them.
Oh, let's see if you can get a...
John McLaughlin, Sidney Moncrief, Paul Pressey.
Wait, I don't think Paul Pressey is retired.
Oh, shoot. Well, Kareem.
Yep.
Oh, man. Now I'm blanking on a bunch of them. The Big O.
Yep.
It's a lot from that era. Is Jack Sikma retired?
He is not.
Okay. Well, I give up.
All right.
Andrew Bogut.
I think the two other that people would probably know are Marcus Johnson and Bob Dandridge.
Ah, yes.
I would not have gotten Brian Winters, Bob Lanier, or Junior Bridgman.
Ah, Junior Bridgman, yes. Yeah, he was a big deal.
How did Bob Lanier get his number retired? He played 4 years.
Don't know. He might have been on one of those, that one title team, honestly. I don't know. I think in Milwaukee, I think one title would get Middleton's number retired. Honestly, I think it would be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, when was their last title? It was
71.
Yeah,
that's the only one.
Yeah, I think
that was with Kareem and the Big O.
Yeah, like
Oscar,
Bob Lanier.
Oscar Robertson, more commonly known.
Bob Lanier's team was awesome, but like they didn't win the title. They won the Midwest Division Championship every year of his five seasons with the Bucks, and he was on the team with Marcus Johnson, Sidney Moncrief, Junior Bridgman. So four guys got retired from that team.
Yeah, just for like winning the division.
And yeah, they were really good, but he averaged 13.5 points, 6 rebounds, 2.7 assists a game in his five seasons with the Bucks. He played in one All-Star game.
Can you unretire a jersey? Has that ever happened?
I've changed my mind. I think Ray Allen will have his number retired by the Bucks.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how it works. Giannis is the same number. I don't know how that would go. They would like make Giannis change his number, but like,
oh,
they
have the
just retire 34 twice. Like,
oh, maybe. I didn't think about that. I think they might. I think they'll probably like you wait for Giannis to retire, and then you retire that number twice.
Yeah, I could see that. It's weird, but like, who cares? It's more just honoring the person than the number, anyways, right?
We're gonna get a Michael Redd Middleton ceremony and a Ray Allen Giannis ceremony.
So if you retire a retired number, that means anyone can wear it again, right?
Ooh. No, that's a compelling point.
To it's a double negative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catch 22. It's mm-hmm. a catch 34.
I was going to say.
I don't know.
That's not his number.
That's Michael Redd's number and Chris Middleton's number. Very compelling stuff. I was wrong about Kendrick Perkins' topic. This has been very interesting to discuss.
I love this. This really drew me in, actually.
I hate when that happens. Let's see what else Kendrick Perkins is tweeting.
He tweeted about the boxing match last night and was incredibly wrong about it. He's like, I think it's about time this guy knocks out the other guy, and the other guy just got smoked. Like, completely.
Before it started, I was trying to catch highlights. This is some very non-basketball content. I was watching a little bit of SportsCenter to try to catch highlights of that Zamboni driver who won the game in the Canes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's all I wanted. And they took forever to get to the highlights. So they showed a bunch of college basketball highlights. And then one incredible thing I'd like to call out from that, they had they were showing the San Diego State loss to UNLV, where they lost their undefeated record. And they were showing, one of the highlights was a video package of missed opportunities for San Diego State. And it was just shots they missed. And it was like, they shot like 50% in this game. They had like 40 missed opportunities. How do you just pick out three? It was just like 7 minutes left in the game, down by seven. They missed an open mid-ranger. Cool. Moving on. They brought on Teddy Atlas to talk about the boxing match, which was supposed to start in 9 minutes. And they asked him one question, and he talked for about 7 minutes and was using all sorts of metaphors that I had no clue what he was talking about. And then he made a joke at the very end that either was a result of him being completely senile and made no sense, or was strangely racist towards the SportsCenter host. And then they said, and we'll bring him back later on. So that was my boxing exposure last night.
Oh, boy.
That's my way of saying there's no chance in hell that Kendrick Perkins was the dumbest person talking about boxing last night. Because I saw that happen.
Somehow,
we are just praising Kendrick Perkins on this podcast.
Well, I guess one thing they would have in common is they were both racist towards Asian people recently. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? I'm sorry, I was just started wondering if on that tangent, I was thinking about Asian NBA players. What percent chance would you put on it that Jeremy Lin gets his number retired by the New York Knicks? Do you think it is greater than 5%?
I think it's at... No, I think it's at 5%.
I think it's lower than 5%. But it's not zero. It's not zero.
Because the thing with, like... With the Knicks is that they ended up running him out of there because Carmelo didn't like him there or some shit, right?
All right. Here's my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can agree, unless I'm missing somebody, that out of the last 10 years, he's the most likely Knick to have his number retired. That doesn't mean he will, but I think he's more likely than everyone else in the past decade.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's straight up not happening for Melo, and beyond that, I don't even know who to consider.
This is true.
So, he might even be, you could probably go back further than that. I'm not sure how far back you have to go to where he's not the most likely Nick.
Lance Thomas.
You just go back to Lance Thomas. Which go all the way back to
Andre. Nick. Lifelong Nick.
How, if the Knicks sucked this bad for like the next 40 years, would they get desperate and just be like, we have to retire somebody's number? Yeah, and then they pick Jeremy Lin because he's a better candidate than anyone else.
They would retire a fucking business suit and it'd be James Dolan.
they raise James Dolan's harmonica up to the rafters.
He retires his own number.
And the air conditioning unit behind it just blows into it all game and everyone has to do that shit.
It's when the fans start chanting to sell the team and they crank up the AC.
It's just the like it's this like sharp note, like off key, like blaring harmonica.
It plays the brown note every time, and the entire fan base shits their pants at the Knicks game.
Oh, sell the team.
Are we ready for a retro take?
Let's do it.
I think so.
Okay. This take is going to take us all the way back to the year 2016. The Dark Ages, some might say. It's on the topic of the slam dunk contest and on the topic of Aaron Gordon. So 4 years ago, Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine had their duel of dunks, arguably one of the best, if not the best, slam dunk contest of all time. Many people thought Aaron Gordon got robbed then and also got robbed recently. But that's to be discussed another time, I guess. This is an article from USA Today Sports from Nate Scott 4 years ago. And it says, the title is Aaron Gordon had the greatest dunk in slam dunk contest history. And I'm just going to read through the article and we'll discuss. I'm just going to come out and say it. Aaron Gordon's dunk this weekend was the greatest dunk in the history of the NBA slam dunk contest. That's it. End of discussion. And he has every right to be furious with the judges. But before we get to this whole screwed over by the judges thing, let's talk about the dunk. I don't even know how to describe it. A friend asked me about it this weekend and I just stammered. He was like, well, there was a mascot and he was holding the ball and then Gordon jumped over him, but like he sat over him, like he sat in the air over him and he put the ball under his legs. He was floating. Let me get my phone out. Let me show you. This dunk turned me into a mumbling lunatic. I am a fluent English speaker, one who writes for a living, and I don't have a grasp over the language to properly describe this dunk. It is the single most inventive, athletically impossible thing I've ever seen. I've watched the dunk 32 times, and I'm still not sure how he did it. Here's the thing with the dunk, too. It wasn't just showmanship for showmanship's sake. Yes, it used the mascot, but this isn't like Dwight Howard putting on a cape and doing a dunk we've all seen 100 times. Gordon did something none of us had ever seen before. It was something that none of us even thought was possible. He had the showmanship, but he also expanded our idea of what was possible in a dunk. He pushed the entire art of dunking forward. This was a breakthrough. This was progress. This was art.
So Aaron Gordon dunked religion into this dude. That's hard. That is kind of hard. But
I have to start off making my biases clear. To be fair, that dunk is my favorite dunk of all time.
It is an amazing dunk. It is top three dunk ever for me, for sure.
That Maybe said, top one. The only dunk worth a post like that is the fabled ha-ha fatality slam.
Yo, yep. Okay.
You're right.
We got okay. Throwbacks today.
At some point, like probably end of season two, beginning of season three, we'll have to re-up what the haha fatality slam is.
Mm-hmm.
For the like three listeners we've added since then. But I mean that's incredible. I don't know why it reduced you to a blubbering mess. It pretty much the description for this dunk is, yeah, he jumped over him but like sat down in midair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't put it through the legs. He put it under both legs. Like, that would be how I would describe it.
I think the most impressive part to me, because, like, Zach LaVine kind of goes under his legs in this contest, is just, like, it was kind of like combining the dunk contest with a rings performance in gymnastics, because it just had to have been incredible core strength to bring your legs up like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then it's the freeze frame of him sitting while staring at the rim, like at eye level, is one of my favorite dunk pictures ever too. But I will say I didn't have quite the reaction this guy did. And that is my favorite dunk ever.
I'm watching it again now. It's still
folks, very good.
It's
live.
I also still really live. Liked that the 2016 dunk where the mascot was spinning on a hoverboard thing, and then he did what he did in 2020 with like the 360 like Karl Malone kind of windmill thing.
Yeah.
This year he did it like off the side of the backboard, but the first year he did it, he like took it from the mascot who was spinning around, which I thought was even more impressive. Those two were amazing dunks for sure. Yes, I thought at the time, I thought Aaron Gordon should have won in 2016 just based on like creativity, but Zach LaVine's were like a through the legs from the free throw line and like these also just absurdly ridiculous dunks. So
like, yeah,
both,
I mean,
both worthy winners again, mm-hmm. like
you talk about robbery, and that's no one had ever done between the legs from the free throw line before.
Yeah, like people constantly are like, Aaron Gordon got robbed. It was like, no, Zach LaVine had some amazing dunks too. They were both amazing. Like no one got robbed.
I think I'm a sucker for that motion because my favorite LaVine dunk from that contest is when he does the one that where he goes like kind of just under his ass with it, like a windmill but behind his back. I love that dunk so much just because it looks so damn smooth.
Yeah, and I don't think like anyone can do it. And he does it so effortlessly.
Also, I want to give this is years late, but a shout out to NBA writer. I think actually now he works for NBA Live. But Chris Barnwall, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He called like a year before that dunk contest that the only dunker who could give LaVine a run for his money was Aaron Gordon. Because to beat LaVine, as he put it, a finesse dunker, you have to use a power dunker. And a year later, Aaron Gordon did the contest, and they provided us with maybe the greatest dunk contest of all time. So I think he deserves more props for literally saying, this is the one guy who should be dunking against him over a year.
I agree. I think combining the final two dunkers, I think 2016 was the best ever. I still have a soft spot for 2000 Vince Carter. And I even have a soft spot for like 02 and 03 Jason Richardson. I thought he was amazing too. He literally was just like asking Gilbert Arenas, what should I do? And Gilbert told him, and then he went and did it. Like he was that good. And it was
the way I get around so fun. Is I think 16 was the greatest dunk contest of all time, but Vince Carter in 2000 is the single greatest dunk contest performance of all time.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
16 was better because two guys were operating at a ridiculous level and brought it out of each other. And the 2000 contest was good. It was just no one was close enough to Vince's level to like have a real contest.
Literally, as soon as Vince put down one dunk, everyone was like, well, it's over. Like, this guy, whatever this guy does is going to just trounce everyone.
One of his celebrations was literally just saying, it's over.
Right after Kenny Smith was shouting, it's over! Over and over into the mic. It was amazing. It was so perfect. And all the reactions in the crowd. You got Shaq with his big video camera. Jason Kidd in his oversized suit covering his face. Michael Keaton looking weird in sunglasses indoors.
Oh, that's such a great picture.
Steve Francis looking dumbfounded at the honey dip. Oh my God.
I'm glad that current players are back to understanding that the way for the dunk contest to be amazing is for the players on the sideline to be astounded by what happens.
Yep.
That's the only way this works is Kevin Garnett with the damn, or Shaq with the, both of them with the camcorders. And we need to bring camcorders back. Phones don't look as cool. I need players to have camcorders.
That's true.
And like players like holding each other back after a guy throws one down. It's so fun. There's a little bit more to the article that I do want to get through. Two quick paragraphs here. So he had just said, this was art. It also makes the fact that he didn't win so infuriating and strange. Dikembe Mutombo has gotten roasted for not giving Gordon the 10 on the dunk, as he should have. So this dunk by Aaron Gordon did not get a 50, for the record. I know the contest went to overtime and Gordon lost there, but I don't care. The judges should have made it so he won. Adam Silver should have stepped in and given it to Gordon. President Obama should have made a call, issued an executive order. This is history being written incorrectly.
But I don't care, except I do. I really do.
he goes on, Zach LaVine's dunks were good. They were fine, but come on. Gordon gave us a masterpiece this weekend. We can at least give him whatever dumb trophy the winner of this thing gets, whether it follows the rules of the contest or not. Calling Zach LaVine's dunks fine is quite a take.
That is really something. Yeah, they're okay. Jeez.
I was thinking about how good of a dunker Gerald Green was to you.
Oh, my second favorite dunk ever. The cupcake dunk.
The cupcake dunk. Yeah, that's a really great one.
We've touched on this before, but what is your favorite could have been dunk? Like the favorite failed dunk attempt in a game.
In the dunk contest?
In a game.
John Morant on Kevin Love is way up there this
I'm
year.
I'm basic, but it's Shannon Brown's failed dunk.
That's mine. The Shannon Brown.
I don't love anything like I love that Shannon Brown dunk, and it didn't even happen.
Oh man! If that's like the only dunk ever that I feel like if that would have happened, he would have had a better career.
That was like a fork in the road.
Yeah, like people would have kept him around.
I'll take it a step further. I think it changed the NBA that dunk did not go down.
Okay.
This would be a fundamentally different league at this point in time if Shannon Brown makes that dunk.
Possibly. I'm watching.
Who was it on?
I'm trying to find it. Missed a dunk. I shouldn't find.
I'll also throw in Chris Birdman Anderson's 50 missed dunk attempts that one dunk contest.
Oh, it was Jason Richardson.
Yep.
Shannon Brown was dunking on Jason Richardson?
Yes. He was in the West Finals.
Yep.
Oh my god.
2010. He gets up so high. He's impossibly high.
I also love
trampoline in the floor.
I love the dunks where the guy holds the ball up before he even starts jumping and just keeps it. It's the Giannis style dunk where Giannis just puts the ball because like no one can get up as high as I can.
Yeah,
and just keeps it up there until he dunks. The Statue of Liberty style dunk, basically.
Yeah.
How does he? He like walks up Jason Richardson.
Oh, everyone, this is
I need to put the phone down. I can't. I need to stop watching this.
we'll find a link to it and tweet it out.
Annual reminder that if you have not watched the Demetrius Jackson dunk while he was still at Notre Dame, to go watch that again, because it is my favorite. How did he keep jumping higher and higher? dunk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good dunks, but you're going to want to avoid the ones that it's not. It's not the him dunking on a 7-footer. It's just keep watching, and you'll see the one where he jumps and somehow just keeps getting higher in the air.
Is it the 2011 December against Washington? Against South Bend?
Ooh, I accidentally changed tabs. Folks, we are finding this live.
Oh.
Just want to give one more quick shout out to our sponsor, Water, for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Little product placement for Water.
See, the thing about
folks,
water,
it comes right out of the tap and it's delicious.
Well,
Water, give it a try.
In certain states, yes. Water, it's good for you. Usually.
Water, it's for you.
All right.
We'll find the exact Demetrius Jackson dunk and tweet it out.
Yeah. Well, right. What else is going on? We got
some games happening right now. Some good dunks,
folks. We have games happening right now.
Let's get a live game update.
The Raptors have had their largest win in franchise history.
Oh boy.
127-81.
Oof, the Pacers.
Can we get a rest in peace to the Pacers?
Rest in peace.
Oh, okay. Man.
You're going to do them like that when they host the All-Star game next year? What else we got?
Roast my son Malcolm Brogdon like this. Not like this.
It seems like the Oladipo return is pretty rough. I know he's on limited minutes, but...
Maybe TJ Warren continues to play too much.
TJ 3-12 within 29 minutes, Warren?
More like TJ not scoring.
Oh my god.
How about why? TJ minus 28, tied with Domantas Sabonis, minus 28. Just a little bit worse than Miles Turner, minus 26. Brogdon, minus 29, and Aaron Holiday, minus 35. There is not a single person on this roster this game who did positive on the plus-minus.
If they did go positive in the game, their team lost by, like, 47. They should be burned as a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone not play, like, DNP coach's decision and just a zero?
Nope.
And has the best plus-minus of the team? Nope. Oh, boy.
Everybody played for at least 4 minutes. Is that
Alize Johnson getting some minutes?
Yeah.
Great name, first of all.
Not a good score. Now we can get to a real important game here. Real important game update. The Warriors are beating the Pelicans by 2.
Okay. Okay. Now we're talking.
Damian Lee has 15 points in the first quarter? Or 13? Why did it just took that away?
That's funny because Kobe White had 16 points in the first quarter today.
That's cute.
Kobe White currently has 32 points in 23 minutes.
Okay, but how about this? Dragon Bender already getting minutes for the Warriors.
Very nice. He's been groomed in Milwaukee for you guys. He was our secret weapon. Then Marvin Williams came a call. And
the Warriors knew new system of just taking all the failed Suns lottery picks.
It's not a bad in the current state, see who pans out.
Who's honestly next?
Like
Jackson?
Anthony Bennett.
No.
Oh my god.
Come on down.
Don't do this to me.
I was like when the Warriors were really cocky, like the GM, the front office was clearly really cocky while they were the best team that had ever existed. Mm-hmm. And they were just signing anybody. They were like, yeah, they'll be good for us. Like right after JaVale had worked out, and they were just like, we can sign whoever we want and they'll be good. And just slowly they kept getting guys and it was like, oh wait, no, these guys just actually aren't good. It doesn't matter if they're in Golden State.
Hey, Marquise has been looking good though.
And we love to see that.
We do love to see that. He seems nice.
Oh, I'm seeing that Zion caused a Warriors player to fall over, to stumble with a jab step, and then nailed a three.
Who was it?
It was Smaila Jigic.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Our boy, our sweet boy.
He looked like a newborn deer out there.
Did y'all see Carmelo hit Zion with that pump fake the other day?
That was something.
And then hit a mid-range jumper.
Oh, baby.
And then Portland lost by a lot to the Pelicans. Everyone was like, Melo showing the rookie what's what here in the league. He literally like pump fake, jab step, 15-foot jumper in like a 20-point loss.
It was definitely more just Zion being a rookie than Carmelo.
It was like guys hit that kind of shot sometimes. Like it was still like a contested mid-ranger.
Mm-hmm.
This was a game where Carmelo had 20 points and 5 rebounds, and Zion had 25 points and 4 rebounds.
Remember when Portland started the season like pretty bad and they signed Melo and then it didn't get any better?
They won like the first two games and they're like, yes, he's back.
They're not going to make the playoffs. They're just not.
That's crazy to me.
They were a 3 seed last year.
Let's give Podfather Adam Davis his props. He has predicted for the 7th year in a row that Portland would miss the playoffs, and he is going to be right.
I mean, you really think they're not going to make it?
Like, you stand by your takes. That's
are you
the lesson here. 100%
sure that Portland is missing?
I'm checking standings right now.
They're like the 10 seed right
they're
now.
They're 9. 9 seed.
How many games back? Like Memphis has like a winning record at this point, don't they?
Yep.
The Grizzlies?
Yeah.
They're 28-26.
They're 28-28.
Okay, they've lost 2 in a row now.
That's yeah. So they're 8 seed. Then Portland is below them, 25-32.
So Portland 3.5 games back, tied with the Spurs, and half a game in front of the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Well, I was going to say I won't guarantee they won't make it, but I don't think they will, but this is full court mess. I guarantee Portland is missing the playoffs.
Oh.
I also guarantee it.
Okay.
That's 2 out of 3.
You guys ready for this?
It's going to happen.
Yep.
Portland's making the playoffs.
Fuck.
Oh.
I think Memphis is going to drop.
What about what I said, though?
Well, we can't all agree.
But we're all always right.
So then,
we'll just do what we did when we guaranteed that the Pelicans would win the lottery and just forget anyone who didn't guarantee that.
Yeah.
I think
if we're always right, then we're never wrong.
I think of the 4 teams who might get the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Kings technically could, or the Suns, but they won't. I'm ignoring them.
They're not. They won't.
Grizzlies, Blazers, Spurs, and Pelicans, I'm going to order them in likelihood of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say Grizzlies, Pelicans, Spurs, Blazers. Fourth most likely.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is out for a couple weeks, just so we know.
Mm-hmm.
He just got hurt. Okay.
Just because you said that, I'm guaranteeing the Pelicans are making the playoffs.
I think
they're looking pretty good.
I think Pelicans are my least likely.
Are they? Well, maybe you haven't heard of this young cat named Zion Williamson.
Okay.
He's fresh on the scene. He was in the Rising Stars game.
This is true. But they have players on their team who weren't in the Rising Stars game. So you got to think of that.
But Brandon Ingram played 9 minutes in the All-Star game.
Nobody passed him the ball.
There's no way to introduce fresh All-Stars to a national audience, like just straight up freezing them out of the All-Star game.
Yes.
Everyone's like, Ingram makes it, and we're all like, oh, it's cool, new blood. I love seeing a guy like kind of hit this coming-of-age moment where he breaks through and makes the All-Star game, and then the All-Stars just go, fuck you.
Yeah, you're like one of yeah and then anyways, here's part. Chris Paul for 30 minutes.
Who also threw down an alley-oop dunk, which ruled.
That's his only alley-oop that he's done ever in the NBA.
Yes, in a long time.
Since the dawn of time.
He has never caught an alley-oop in the NBA. I think the Spurs are more likely to get in there than the Pelicans.
I want to believe in the Spurs, but they're just such a bummer.
Yeah, what's going on here? They're supposed to be good. They're the Spurs.
Right? They did the same thing the Warriors did. It was just like a longer process where they were just like, we're the Spurs, and signed a bunch of shitty players.
They signed Damari Carroll and never played him.
That ruled.
Whoa. Hold on. I like him.
He's one of our Carroll's on the Rockets now. He's on the Rockets now.
Yeah, as of like this week.
Getting minutes at center.
Mm-hmm.
That is one-time Eastern Conference Player of the Month, Damari Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
One-time 1/5 Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
Why is Portland so not good now?
To hear Adam Davis tell it, they've always been frauds. And it's just finally coming home to roost.
Okay.
Other possibilities. Dame carries that team, and he missed time this year.
That's true. He's currently missing time.
CJ hasn't really been anything special.
That's also true.
If you like list their good, their like you go through their roster and list the guys who are definitely good, it's a very short list.
Okay.
They're relying heavily on Carmelo Anthony and Hassan Whiteside.
And Trevor Ariza.
It's like a roster of the most fake good players in the NBA.
Let's take a look at their roster. Carmelo is playing 32 minutes in his last game.
They have like
Myers Leonard.
All right, this is their starting.
Yeah. They traded him for Whiteside.
Yeah.
They don't. Never
mind. That's why they suck.
Yeah, maybe they should have not done that.
They also let all of their like small ball fours walk. Like Aminu is gone, Mo Harkless is gone. Like every guy that they used to go small is just out.
Nurkic is still out. He's still on the team, but he's not playing for a while still. After that terrible, disgusting injury.
Like when Damian Lillard is out, who's their most exciting player? Anthony Simmons, Simons.
Yeah, him or like Gary Trent Jr.
Nah, yeah, strong.
This was their starting lineup the other day against the Pelicans. Gary Trent Jr., CJ McCollum, Carmelo Anthony, Trevor Ariza, Hassan Whiteside.
Yikes!
All playing over 30 minutes a game.
That's not like an underachieving team. That's just a terrible team.
And then
they're kind of.
Four more available players. Swanigan, Gabriel, Little, and Simmons.
Nasir? You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is he doing it?
They talked a lot. He gets a highlight every once in a while. If you remember, a lot of people talked over the past few years, back when the Wizards were like Eastern Conference, second round of the playoffs type team. Mm-hmm. They were analogs of each other. They're both teams that had like locked themselves into this current team, spent all their money on a team that was like at best like could make it to the conference finals, and then everything on the Wizards went to shit. My theory is probably that shit that happened with the Wizards is now happening to the Blazers. They capped themselves out, they hit their ceiling, except the point in their favor is that Damian Lillard is a lot better than John Wall and is doing his best to fight against it. But if he misses time, they've got nothing. They locked themselves into like big money on Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic. And McCollum's kind of questionable, even though I love him, and Nurkic is hurt.
So they gonna make some changes over summer then?
I don't know what the changes are. They could try to trade guys, but it seems kind of like late for it.
Yeah,
like they're not going to get anything of value back. They could try to blow it up, but that seems like a bummer. I don't really know what they do, but they're out of money. Like they have no cap room ever.
How much more is on Whiteside's contract?
I think this is the last year of his deal.
Okay, so then they might have some money then.
I'm still not sure because they might just be over the cap right now.
Oh well.
But.
Anyways,
if I was the kind of guy who knew cap numbers off the top of my head, I might watch NBA game every once in a while.
Well, we've gone on for a little bit now. Might be time to wrap it up.
Wrap it up like we're Damian Lillard.
Oh, no.
Wrap it up like we're Common introducing the All-Stars.
Oh, hey. Style yo rhyme
like we're Adam like Byers. We're Chance the Rapper at the halftime show.
Oh man.
I mean like the Chance thing is like it's not good, but it also makes a lot of sense to have him perform.
Yeah. Hometown guy.
Yeah.
I get it.
So
I'm just still mad about the big day.
Yeah. We all are.
Not me. I didn't listen to it.
Oh, well, I didn't finish it.
Yeah, I heard a couple songs.
Hot Shower, like, and I thought that I was listening to like a parody. I really did.
I saw some of the reviews come out, and then I saw more and more of them come out, and I was like, let me treat this like the Washington Wizards and just pretend it's not happening. I can't be mad if I never partake of it. So I'm just like, yeah, man. I mean, I enjoyed Coloring Book.
I re-listened to his old mixtapes recently, and he says, as a diss, he says, you a wingding? And I was like, oh, man, we should have seen this coming. We enabled this.
I knew people who saw it coming, because I saw one guy when Coloring Book came out. He's like, it's fine. He's like, but unfortunately, he's like, I'm happy for him, and I'm glad that he's happy, and I want him to be happy. But unfortunately, I think he made better music when he was on drugs.
Oh, boy. Well, if you have any hot takes, cold takes, takes, I don't know, send them on Twitter to @afullcourtmess. Because we love that shit. And it's stuff to talk about. And as we finish, as we end here, let me hit Joe with a little bit of a thinker.
I'm ready.
This is from Bruh Bucks. Giannis is just a Jabari Parker with a jump shot.
What? Like, okay, the one thing about Giannis that everyone says is that he needs a jump shot. Now he has a jump shot, and that's what sets him apart from Jabari. Okay.
I don't know. Get me out of here. They're a Bucks fan, so I don't think they're serious, but it's awesome. And so
I love it.
That's our ending thinker. Please think of that and consider that. We love you.
Thank you very much.